For a few moments this evening, I want to preach on that subject that I announced just a few moments ago, working out your own salvation. And I want to base my remarks, Philippians 2, in the latter part of verse 12. I'm sure it's a text of Scripture, if you're saved and love the Lord, that you've read many times before. But I wonder, do you really know what it means? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Underline those words in your Bible. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's all bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider the Word of God tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your presence with us this evening. We thank thee for these lovely messages and songs that we have heard. And we do pray, Lord, that you would bless them to our hearts. We believe that you have. Oh God, we thank thee that we can sing the song of the soul set free. Those of us who are saved, we praise thee, Lord, for thy mercy to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank thee, Lord, for redeeming us by your precious blood. And oh God, we do pray tonight that you would come and speak to all of our hearts. Bless the message to both saint and sinner alike. We pray for your own people, Lord, that you would encourage us and strengthen us and help us, Lord, in these days to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And we pray for those that are not saved. Oh God, that they may realize that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God without Christ as their Savior. And even tonight, Lord, that they would turn from their sin, find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. Bless us now, Lord, as we turn to the sacred page. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. We have discovered already in these studies that God's salvation in the life of the child of God is not just something in the past, but it is a day-to-day experience with God. That's what we learn here in this epistle. Although in salvation there must be a day of conversion in the past, we have seen in this epistle in past studies that our salvation must be right up to date. In Philippians 1 verse 5, the Apostle Paul thanked the Lord for the saints at Philippi by speaking about their present day walk with God. And we have emphasized the importance of walking with the Lord day by day and hour by hour. The Apostle Paul, as we all know, was a great man of God. And when you consider his life as it is recorded in the Bible, you soon realize that Paul knew what it was to walk with God day by day. His was a daily, personal, up-to-date walk with God. As we're going to find out tonight, Paul knew what it meant to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Child of God, let me ask you a question tonight. Those of you who are saved, trusting in the Lord, are you working out your own salvation with fear and trembling? You say to me, preacher, what do you mean, working out my own salvation? Well, that's one of the things that we want to consider in our study this evening. What it means to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. However, before we consider what it means to work out our own salvation, there's a few things that I want you to see in the text. And the message tonight is for both saint and sinner alike. I do believe that there's a word in season for each and every one of us here tonight. And I pray that God will take his word and write it upon our hearts. First of all, the text speaks of salvation, because the word salvation is in the text. Look what it says in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2. Work out your own salvation. Underline the word salvation. No matter who we are this evening, we all need God's wonderful and eternal and everlasting salvation. What does it mean to have God's salvation? What does it mean to be saved? Well, let me remind you again what it means to be a recipient of God's wonderful redemption. To have God's salvation means that we have our sins forgiven. There can be no greater joy upon this earth, no greater blessing upon this scene of time than to know sins forgiven. When a sinner receives God's salvation, they receive forgiveness for all their sins, past, present, and future. On the cross of Calvary, Christ died for the sins of the ungodly. Therefore, when a sinner confesses their sin to God in true repentance and faith, God, on the basis of Christ's finished work on the cross, forgives the sinner for all their sins. And isn't it wonderful, those of us who are saved tonight, that we can truly say that our sins, which were many, are forgiven. And child of God, that's something that you and I can rejoice about tonight. Praise God, the Lord has cast our sins into the sea of His forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. All because of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished upon the cross of Calvary for us. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, you can have your sins forgiven. Indeed, you need your sins forgiven. That is the greatest need in your life this evening, to come and confess your sins to God and trust Him in true repentance and faith to call upon the name of the Lord. Thank God you can find forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." And then Acts 5 verse 31 says, "Him," speaking of Christ, "hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, He will forgive you for your sins. He will cleanse you from your sins. Because the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. I can't forgive you for your sins. No other Christian can forgive you for your sins. If you want your sins forgiven, then you must come and receive Christ as your Savior. You see, this is what it means to have God's salvation and God's redemption. Also, of course, it means deliverance from hell and from judgment to come. Once a person is saved and has received salvation, God's salvation, that person has been delivered from judgment to come. The Bible tells us clearly that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Hell is the portion and destiny of all those who die without God's salvation. But thank God, all those who are saved will never be lost eternally. And that's another blessing of having Christ as your Savior and knowing sins forgiven. Thank God, those who are the recipients of God's salvation have been delivered from hellfire. They have been saved from the judgment to come. The Bible says in Romans 5 verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath," saved from hell, "through Him." My friend, if you're not saved tonight, thank God. If you were to come this evening and bow by faith at the foot of the cross and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, thank God He would deliver you from the judgment to come. You see, there is a judgment coming. The Bible says that God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. And the Bible clearly teaches that there is a hell to shun. And that's why you need God's salvation. That's why God's salvation is imperative for you tonight if you're found in this meeting without God and without Christ and without hope. Those of us who are saved, praise God, that's what the Lord has delivered us from. He's delivered us from hell and from judgment to come. Salvation also means, of course, a home in heaven. Not only does it mean having our sins forgiven, not only does it mean deliverance from hell and judgment to come, but salvation, God's salvation, those who receive God's salvation, they have a home in heaven. All who partake of the salvation that the Bible speaks about will enter heaven when they die and leave this scene of time knowing that they're going to be with the Lord, which is far better. You see, heaven is the eternal home of every born-again child of God. We're familiar with the words of Christ in John chapter 14. "In my Father's house or many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Colossians 1 verse 4 and 5 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful text? Paul, they're writing to the Christians at Colossae. And this is what he says concerning those who have received God's salvation. Praise God that there's a hope laid up for us in heaven. In 1 Peter 1 verse 3, Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. I wonder this evening, as we're gathered in God's house, are you sure? Are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Do you know anything about this wonderful salvation that the Bible speaks about? Of course, it also means peace with God. We're all born into this world as the enemies of God. The Bible tells us that. However, as soon as a person receives salvation, that person enters into God's family and is therefore no more the enemy of God. You see, salvation in Christ reconciles the sinner to God, and thus the sinner makes peace with God through the blood of the Lamb. That's what Romans 5 verse 1 tells us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved tonight. You have peace with God. You've been reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful to be able to put your head in the pillow at night and know, even if you were to die during the night, that it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord, because you have made peace with God through the blood of his cross. This is what it means to be saved. This is what it means to be a recipient of God's wonderful salvation. My friend, if you have never received this wonderful salvation tonight, then come and trust the Lord as your Redeemer. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. And that's the wonderful and the glorious message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at the text again, because not only does it speak about salvation, but of course, the text speaks of personal salvation. It says, work out, underline these words, your own salvation. Underline those two words, your own. Your own salvation. My friend, is God's salvation your salvation? Is this salvation that the Bible speaks about your salvation? In other words, do you possess this salvation? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your own and personal Savior? When the text speaks about your own salvation, what the text is speaking about is this. The text is speaking about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's very important that you see that. In this epistle, the people that Paul was writing to had a personal faith in Jesus Christ. The salvation that God had given them was their own personal possession. In other words, they knew the Lord in a personal way. Turn back again to chapter 1 and look at verse 1 again. And let us remind us how the Apostle Paul opens this epistle. He opens it by speaking about their personal relationship with Christ. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, listen to it, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. That wee word in there is very, very important, because it points out to us that these people that Paul was writing to in the church at Philippi, they had a personal relationship with Christ. They were in Christ. Now, the Bible speaks about those who are in Christ, and the Bible speaks about those who are without Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, if you take the time to read it, you'll find those two phrases there. Those who were without Christ. And if you're not saved in the meeting tonight, you're without Christ. But if you're saved tonight, you're in Christ. All those who are in Christ have a personal relationship with Christ. In other words, there was a day in their life when they repented of their sin and by faith trusted Jesus Christ as their own and personal Redeemer. As we have noticed already in our studies, these people that Paul was writing to could look back to a day in their lives when they were saved and when they had put their faith in Christ to redeem them. Therefore, they had personally received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. It was their own salvation because of their personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. My friend, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? In other words, can you look back to a day in your life when you trusted Him and repented of your sin and by faith trusted Christ as your Savior and turned to Him and called upon Him to have mercy upon your soul? In order to get into heaven, you must have a personal relationship with Christ. You must know Him as your own. We're not preaching a general gospel. A general gospel is a false gospel. We're preaching the gospel that the Bible declares. And the gospel and the salvation that the Bible declares is a personal matter between the sinner and God. And my friend, if you can't say it tonight that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you can't say it tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Redeemer, if you can't say it tonight that God's salvation is your own personal salvation, then you're lost. Then you have not made your peace with God. Then your sins are not forgiven. Then the Lord has not delivered you from hell. Then there is no home in heaven for you. I want you to turn to four passages of Scripture very quickly. In these references, I want to highlight the word my, M-Y. This word draws our attention to the personal salvation of those who are speaking. First of all, in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 22. Take the time to turn it up and read with me verses 1 to 3. And here we have David speaking. And David was a man who knew the Lord in a personal way. There was a day in his life when he was saved by the grace of God. And this is what David says. Look at it, verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, underline these words, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, verse 3, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Underline it. Thus savest me from violence. Thou savest me from violence. You see how David there spoke of a personal relationship with the Lord? My friend, can you speak of that personal relationship with the Lord? Is God's salvation your own salvation? Is it your own possession? I can say tonight that God's salvation is my own salvation because He has redeemed me by His precious blood and saved me for time and for all eternity. Look at Psalm 19. Again, the psalmist speaking, verse 14. Underline the words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Listen to it. My strength and my Redeemer. Again, the psalmist there is speaking about a personal relationship with Christ. He speaks about his own personal Redeemer. And he could say that because he knew the Lord individually. He knew the Lord personally. There's a couple of references in the New Testament. They're familiar, I'm sure, to most of us. But take a look at Luke 1 and verse 46. We have here the words of Mary, the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus. Of course, Mary, she also needed a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ was her own and personal Savior. And this is what Mary said in verse 46 of Luke 1. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," verse 47. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God." Underline it. My Savior. She knew the Lord as her Savior. In John 20, verse 28, we read these words. "And Thomas answered and said unto him," that's unto Christ, "My Lord and my God." Oh, my friend, as we come to the end of this meeting tonight, can you truly say that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Your personal Savior? Come on, own up to it tonight. Be truthful this evening. Or do you have to confess that you just come to church and you just have a form of religion? You've never really prayed to God. You've never really met Him as your own and personal Redeemer. My friend, you need to come tonight and you need to meet the Lord. And the Lord needs to save you. You need God's salvation. And if you truly have God's salvation, then it'll be your own. It'll be your own salvation. That's what the text means when it says work out your own salvation. Is God's salvation your own? Oh, thank God I have a possession tonight. I have a possession and it's my own. It's my own because God gave it to me. It's eternal life. It's everlasting redemption. It's God's salvation. And it's mine. It's mine. Because I know Him in a personal way. Now, let's take a look at this text again. Because the text not only speaks of salvation, and the text not only speaks of personal salvation, but the text speaks of working out this personal salvation. It says, work out your own salvation. What does this phrase mean? Work out your own salvation. Well, first of all, let me tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean working for salvation. And of course, you would know that. But not everyone might know that. God's salvation is a gift of grace, which is received by faith alone in Christ alone. And no amount of good works on our part will gain us salvation. If you're saved tonight, you're not saved because you worked for it. And you would know that. But there are many in this world and in this land and in this town, and they don't know that because they believe that they have to work for their salvation in order to gain admittance into heaven. That's not the meaning of this phrase. God's salvation is not given to us on the basis of our good works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Therefore, what does this phrase, work out your own salvation, mean? Well, it means we must not neglect our own spiritual walk with God as Christians. Now, I want you, if you're saved, to listen very carefully here, because there's a message here for you and for me who are saved. Paul here exhorts the saints at Philippi to diligence and seriousness in their Christian walk with God. The word "work" in the text literally means energy. Therefore, what Paul is saying here to these saints at Philippi is to make sure that they shine out in their walk with God. They were to show to the world that their salvation was real in their lives, and they were to use all their energy in doing so. Child of God, the truth is this. There are many of God's people and they spend their lives running after other things. And we all do it at times. Things of a secular nature. Things of lesser importance. With the result that they neglect their own walk with God. They neglect their own prayer time. They neglect their own Bible study. They neglect their own personal devotions. You see, working out our own salvation means cultivating spiritual growth in our own lives by not neglecting the means of grace that God has given us for our own spiritual welfare. And I hope that I have made that clear enough. In other words, We who are saved must personally take the time to pray. We must personally take the time to read the scriptures. We must personally take the time to learn more about Christ our Savior. Working out our own salvation means spending time growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. That's what it means to work out your own salvation. Many Christians spend time running after other things, but they spend little time running after the Lord, with the result that they neglect their own walk with God. Child of God, how much time do we spend feeding our own souls each day from God's Word? How much time do we spend in prayer each day around the throne of grace? How much time do we spend each week thinking and meditating upon the things of God? Now, I know that we're living in an age when there has so much needed to be done. But you know, it's so important day by day in our Christian lives that we're not so busy that we neglect the things of God. And I believe that in this 21st century, many of God's people are neglecting the things of God. They're neglecting their walk with God, with the result that many of them are losing out with the Lord. It's so easy to be so busy where we neglect our own salvation. But Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and never forget, Paul is speaking here as the man of God. He's speaking with the message of God. You and I, as Christians, we need to work out our own salvation. We need to cultivate that spiritual growth day by day in our own Christian lives. This is what it means to work out your own salvation. To spend time with the Lord so that your personal walk with God is strengthened day by day. And of course, this whole epistle, that's what the thrust of the epistle is all about. That personal walk with God. We have seen that in these studies already. And it is great that we can look back to that day when we were saved. And it's important, it's imperative that we can look back to that day when we were converted, when we were born again of the Spirit of God. But child of God, what about today? What about our present walk with God? Are we walking with God closer today than we were the day we were first saved? Do we know more of Christ today than we did the day we were saved? Have we met the Lord today? Have we communed with Him today? Have we spoken to Him today? Indeed, has He spoken to us today through His Word? This is what it means to work out your own salvation. Notice how you and I, child of God, are to work out our own salvation. Did you notice at the end of verse 12? Look at it again. Work out your own salvation. Listen to it. With fear and trembling. In other words, with a holy reverence. That's what the phrase means. Child of God, we must have a fear within us of grieving the Father's love. It will not be a fear of fright, but a fear of letting the Lord down. Surely it ought to be our desire to always want to please the Lord. I know that it always pleases the Lord to see our lives growing in spiritual things. Look at verse 13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." How do we please God? By working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Why should we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling? Well, because very soon we're going to meet this God of our own salvation. Child of God, you ever think of the day when you will meet God? You and I will stand before Him and give an account of our service for Him upon this earth. Romans 14 verse 12 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." I will give an account of myself to God. You will give an account of yourself to God. Oh, we'll not be judged for our sins, because our sins are washed away in the crimson tide. Praise God, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And we've already seen that. But we will give an account of our service and how we worked out our own salvation. How we lived for the Lord, in other words. How we obeyed His word and how we sought to serve Him and spread the message of the gospel. Child of God, what a solemn thought. You and I will give an account of ourselves to God. We will give an account of how we lived our lives upon this earth. On that day, when we stand before God, we will stand before Him as those who spent their lives working out our own salvation. Oh, I pray in this 21st century in which we live, that the Lord will revive us again. That the Lord will come and help us to focus in again to what is important. Because we have only one life. It will soon be passed. And only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Never forget that. And someday, whether soon or whether many years down the road, we leave this scene of time and go out to meet our Master. I wonder, will we hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Let me close, because time's away, by speaking to those in the meeting again who are not saved. My friend, you will also stand before God, but you will stand Him to be judged for your sin. You will stand before Him to be condemned forevermore. That's why you need a Savior tonight. That's why you need to trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. My prayer this night is that you will come and trust Christ as your Savior. You need your own salvation. Your mother can't be saved for you. Her salvation is no good to you. Your father, he can't be saved for you. His salvation is no good to you. And parents, the salvation of your children, no good for you. You need your own salvation. Will you come tonight and trust Christ? Work out your own salvation. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for the Scriptures of truth and for Thy wonderful salvation and Thy wonderful redemption. We thank Thee, Lord, that many here tonight can truly testify that God's salvation is our own because we have that personal relationship with Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy mercy to us. We can say like the psalmist, "The Lord is my rock, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my Redeemer, the Lord is my Savior." Oh God, we thank Thee for that. But Lord, help us in these days. Help us to work it out. Help us, Lord, day by day, not to neglect the means of grace. But oh God, help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And may our conversion experience be right up to date. Oh God, I pray that for my own life. I pray it for the lives of every saint of God here this evening. Help us, Lord, not to be depending upon past blessings. But oh God, help us to know what it is to be blessed of God day by day, to be spoken by God day by day, to hear the voice of the Lord through the Word day by day. Give us that desire, Lord, to pray more in these days, to meet with God, for God to meet with us. Oh God, help us to live lives that will matter for Thee, will mean for Thee, and that others will see Christ in us. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. 390.